محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما عن ولده واتقوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, in the verses of the Quran Sharif that were recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, O man, O people, ittaqu rabbakum, fear your Rabb. This quality of taqwa, having taqwa with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this definition of taqwa and this word of taqwa, we hear it over and over again. Ulama-i kiram have given the definition of taqwa as being kaffun nafsi anil hawa, that a person is able to, he has the capacity, he has the strength to curtail, to restrain, to control his evil desires, to control himself from his evil desires, from fulfilling his evil desires. We can go further into a little definition, this word hawa, that Allah Ta'ala says that وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. In the 30th juz of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, as for that person who fears standing before his Rabb, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he restrains his nafs from its hawa. So this word hawa is being repeated over and over again. What does hawa mean? Loosely translated, evil desires. Ulama kiram have given a nice definition that hawa is marghubat-e tab'iyya ghayr-e shar'iyya. Marghubat-e tab'iyya ghayr-e shar'iyya, which means all those temptations to which we incline, naturally incline. A person, Allah Ta'ala has made us that we have natural inclinations. The human being has natural inclinations. Unlike the angels, they don't have any inclinations. They don't have any desires. They don't have any evil desires. They are specifically created and they have within themselves the innate quality of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and nothing else. Man on the other hand has got desires, both good desires and evil desires. So to have an inclination, it's natural. If the person says that I don't get attracted to things of beauty, then we will say this is unnatural, it's inhuman. Something not right with you. So marghubat at-tab'iyya, those natural inclinations, but ghayr shar'iyya, which are not conforming to the sharia, to the deen of Islam, to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sharia is also something that we cannot just pick up from one book or read one hadith and practice on it. Sharia is a very complex code of conduct for a Muslimin. Sometimes a person picks up one hadith and says, well, the hadith states this year, and therefore I'm going to practice on this one hadith. Not realizing that in order to come up with laws and to come up with our deen, a person has to have the necessary knowledge. We may not understand certain things. For example, a person picks up a hadith sharif and he sees in the hadith sharif that the sahaba ikram were drinking. So now he would say, but why are these maulanas making alcohol forbidden for us when sahaba were drinking? So because he doesn't have knowledge that yes, in the initial stages of Islam, alcohol was permissible, sahaba ikram drank alcohol. We know the history. And then Allah Ta'ala gradually began prohibit. You should not drink when you are going near salah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Or you who believe, do not go near salah when you are in this intoxicated state. Which clearly meant that when it was not time for salah, they were able to drink. They were allowed to drink. Until finally Allah Ta'ala then finally revealed the verses wherein alcohol was completely forbidden. Now a person who doesn't have the necessary knowledge of Islam, and now he picks up one book of hadith in isolation, and he reads it and he tries to practice on it, there's the great possibility he could go astray, because he doesn't have that holistic knowledge. Hence we have sharia. The sharia is a complete code of conduct in which the fuqaha, the jurists have looked at the various ahadith, and they've reconciled, and they've come up with a set of rules and regulations that these are the boundaries of sharia. This is permissible, that is impermissible, this is impermissible based on these factors. And this is how rules and regulations are then codified. So Allah has given us the sharia. We have to look at the ulama-i kiram and seek guidance from them. So we have got this boundary. So marghubat tab'iyya ghayr shar'iyya. If a person has desires, natural desires, and they are not against sharia, there's nothing wrong with it. A person wants to go and to some park and look at the animals. He has the desire to go for a holiday in which there is nothing that will be against the sharia of Islam. He will be in a good environment. Then we cannot say that this person is following his hawa, he's following his evil desires. No, it is permissible for him to participate in that. In fact, our ulama-i kiram state that in today's times, we should also give our nafs halal. If you're going to deprive the nafs of halal, then eventually that nafs of ours, it'll turn against us. There are many people who started changing their lives. They started changing their lives. The person was leading a very fast life. And then suddenly the person changed. And then he gave up everything. Even those things which were permissible, he gave it up. Or she gave everything up. And then what happened? The person gave it up. It was too hard for the person. And eventually after a few months or a few years, you find that the person is gone back, forget back to where he was or she was. Even worse. I personally know so many instances. That is why, give the nafs halal also. Don't deprive the nafs of halal also. That which is permissible, allow the nafs to enjoy that which is permissible. Obviously, in moderation. So, marghubat-e tab'iyya, ghayr-e shari'iyya, those desires which are against sharia, that is regarded as hawa. So, taqwa is kafful nafsi anil hawa. The definition of taqwa is that the person restrains himself from evil desires. Those desires which are not in conformance with the sharia of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala says in these verses, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum. O ye who believe, adopt the quality of taqwa when it comes to your Rabb. Fear your Rabb. In other words, our relationship with Allah Ta'ala should be such that we have got so much of khawf e khuda, so much of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this word fear is not like how a person is afraid of a lion, that the lion will tear the person apart. In fact, this fear is born out of mahabbah and born out of love. If a person loves someone, then he has a fear that I must not do something that will upset my beloved. So that should be the highest level, that we should reach that level, that we have got so much of ishq and mahabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we now are afraid of destroying that connection with Allah ta'ala. The person says, jisne sar baksha, usse sarkashi zeba nahi. In other words, that Allah who has given us all our faculties, Allah ta'ala gave us our eyes, our ears, our heart, liver, lungs, every faculty that we have in our bodies and all around us, when He has been so kind to us, appropriate for us to use those bounties to violate the very command of the giver of those bounties. Does it make sense? So that's the highest level. And the next level will be that the person fears that I must not go to the fire of Jahannam. That is why in one dua, Nabi Kareem Sahasam taught us, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaaka wal jannah. وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَخَطِكَ وَالنَّارِ. That, O Allah, I ask, إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ, I ask of your happiness, وَالْجَنَّةِ, and then Jannah. And I seek refuge from your anger, and then the fire of Jahannam. Ulama-i-Kiram explained, this clearly shows that the happiness of Allah Ta'ala is far superior than the gardens of Jannah. And the anger of Allah Ta'ala is far worse than the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, the happiness of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest the person can get. Hence the person is afraid that I must not displease Allah Ta'ala. I must always maintain that relationship where Allah is pleased with me. Now this taqwa, a person may say, but Mauli Sahab, how am I going to please Allah Ta'ala all the time? But to insan who, I make mistakes, I'm a human being. So one alim explained it so beautifully. He says that we say a person is ba wudu, which means that a person is all the time constantly in the state of wudu. Hadith of Rasulullah SAW states, when a person is in a state of wudu, then this becomes a barrier against the whisperings of shaitan. So a person tries to be in the state of wudu all the time. Of course, it's not necessary. We know that wudu is only compulsory for the performance of salah and for reciting Quran Sharif. But a person feels that, look, I would like to be in the state of wudu all the time. So we say this person is ba-wudu. So the alim explains very beautifully. He says, does it mean that this person wudu, he doesn't break at all? Has to break, he's a human being. He will have to go relieve himself. So his wudu will break. But what happens? As soon as his wudu breaks, he immediately goes back and he makes a fresh wudu again, and again he's in the state of wudu. So when we say that a person must always be in the state of taqwa, it doesn't mean that the person won't commit a sin. It doesn't mean a person won't accidentally make a mistake. We are human beings. The nafs gets the better of us. But as soon as we make a mistake, immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for misusing my eyes. You blessed me with so many bounties. This morning I woke up, I was fit and healthy. Alhamdulillah, my house is in order. My vehicle was not broken into. It was not stolen. This didn't happen. That didn't happen. You granted protection upon me. You have been so kind to me. Ya Allah, and I committed this sin. Forgive me. Bas, Alhamdulillah, again, you have re-established your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, a person can constantly be in the state of taqwa. That every time he makes a mistake, he turns to Allah ta'ala and he seeks forgiveness. So Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum. Subhanallah, Allah ta'ala uses the word Rabb. Mufassireen, scholars of the Quran Sharif explain the word Rabb. That Rabb is that being that brings something from non-existence into existence. Something which was non-existent, it was a non-entity. He brings it into existence. And then not only that, he gradually allows that to progress and to become more enhanced, shay'an for shay'an, surely, stage by stage, gradually intensifying it until it reaches a point of perfection. That is Rabb. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is not only our Khaliq. Allah didn't only create us, but Allah Ta'ala nurtured us. Allah Ta'ala nurtured us and brought us from non-existence into existence. When we were extremely weak, we were absolutely helpless, Allah Ta'ala made it such that we are now standing on our 2 feet. We are now independent. Who is it that being? Who is the being that brought us to this point where we are right now? Allah is reminding us that have you forgotten what I have done for you? Have you forgotten that I was the being who brought you from non-existent into existence? Have you forgotten that you were absolutely helpless and now I have given you strength and energy? And now you are a person of strength and quwwah and taqat. Have you forgotten what I did for you? So Allah is now reminding us of how kind He had been to us. That is why one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Kareem. We know that Allah ta'ala has got 99 names. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem. What is the definition of Kareem? Al-Kareem alladhi yu'ti bidun al-istihqaqi wal-minna. Kareem is that being who is so kind that he gives to the recipient in such a manner that the recipient is not even deserving of that kindness. That is giving to that personness. Sometimes a beggar comes and the beggar got plenty of money in his pocket. Some of the beggars are so well off. So he knows that this beggar doesn't deserve the money. But he says, never mind, I will still give it to him. He doesn't deserve it, but I will still give it to him. That is Kareem. Allah is Kareem. We ask ourselves the question, each and every one of us seated here. What makes us so special that Allah Ta'ala created us in the first place? What is it that is so special about us? It is only the karam of Allah Ta'ala that He created us. If Allah wanted it, He didn't create us. And if Allah Ta'ala wanted to create us, He could have created us in a form of a dog or a cat or a lion or some qurbani animal, qurbani time finish. End of story. But Allah Ta'ala made us insan. Another karam of Allah Ta'ala upon us. And then Allah Ta'ala could have created us and made us of the kuffar and the mushrikeen. But Allah Ta'ala selected us and chose us to be among the mu'mineen. Subhanallah. Another karam and sifat of kareemi of Allah Ta'ala upon us. And then Allah Ta'ala could have made us from the ummah of any Nabi. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, so many anbiya. But Allah Ta'ala chose us to be from the ummah of Nabi Paak, Janabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Is this not the karam of Allah Ta'ala? Ki Allah, main iska ahl nahi tha. I was not worthy of it. Main to nalayiq ho. I am absolutely useless. But yet you chose me to be from the ummah of Sarkari do Alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It causes his heart to soften. He says, Ya Allah, tu kitne kareem hai. How kareem you are, how haleem you are, how kind you are that you bless me with these bounties. So Allah is saying, ittaqu rabbakum, fear that Rabb of yours, who is so kareem, who is so haleem, fear him. Allah Ta'ala says, ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum. And then Allah Ta'ala says, wakhshaw yawma. Forget this world. In this world you can get away. This world is a place of injustice, where the zalimeen get away, the oppressors get away. And those who are oppressed, they carry on crying and crying. This world is a place where you will not get justice. But that day, Yawm al-Adl, the day of justice, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Allah says on the day of Qiyamah, we will set up the scales of measure. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Not a soul will be oppressed. There will be absolute justice to such an extent. Allahu Akbar. That even that animal that had horns and that used its horns to oppress the other animal, to hurt the next animal, Allah will mete out justice on the day of Qiyamah, reverse the tables, and will instruct the animal and grant the animal who was oppressed, grant that animal horns and instruct it to mete out justice on the day of Qiyamah. That is why in this world, we should be extremely particular that we are not making zulm on anyone. We are not oppressing anyone in any way whatsoever. Allah says, Al-Zulmu, Nabi Sassim said, Al-Zulmu Zulumatun Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Oppression will be darkness upon darkness on the day of Qiyamah. It will cause a person great amount of grief. In this world we find people getting away, usurping the rights of the orphans, usurping the rights of the widows. The eldest brother in the family takes the inheritance, forges the signature, takes all the property for himself, and smiles at his achievement, and usurping the rights of others. The day of Qiyamah, Allah will take you to task. Allah will take you to task for every cent that you took. And remember, on that day, no one will forgive anyone. Each person will be worried about nothing but himself. Allah says, fear that day. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا. Fear the day of judgment. يَوْمَ لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسِ. Allah Ta'ala says that, to continue with that ayah, that the child will not be concerned of the parent, and the parent will not be concerned of the child in any way whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala is showing a relationship which is generally the strongest relationship. The relationship between the parent and child. It's a strong and pure relationship. In another verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. Allah Ta'ala describes the scene on the day of Qiyamah, where that mother who is suckling her child will abandon the child and discard the child due to the horror of the day of Qiyamah. Now imagine, ulama-i kiram explain and the medical experts explain that the bond between the mother and child is extremely strong. And like the bond between the mother and child is the strongest when the child is in its infancy. And in that infancy, the strongest bond is when the child is suckling on the mother. Such a strong bond. But the horror of the day of Qiyamah will be so intense that that mother will even abandon the child and not be bothered about the child, only be bothered about herself. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna wa'da Allahi haq. Inna wa'da Allahi haq. Indeed, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely true. This promise that the day of Qiyamah will come, this promise that there will be accountability, that you will have to give account for every single deed that you were involved in. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمَ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Therefore, do not let this world deceive you. Do not let this world, the glamour of this world, it can intoxicate a person. A person can become so intoxicated in the glitter and the glamour of this world that he forgets his real goal and purpose. We need the dunya. We're not saying we must kick the dunya. Somebody said, you know, kick the dunya. Kick it out of your life. So the alim asked him, Rabbi, if you kick dunya out of your life, then food is also dunya. So if you kick food out of your life, then where are you going to get the strength to kick in the first place? So what is dunya? What is the definition of dunya? Everything that diverts one from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. If our involvement in dunya is becoming so excessive that we are forgetting to perform our salah, we are forgetting to fulfill the rights of others, we are violating the rights of others, then we will say that this has become dunya. But alhamdulillah, if a person is involved in his business, is fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala on the one side, then subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, indeed the promise of Allah Ta'ala is absolutely true. Do not let this world deceive you. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Do not let the great deceiver deceive you. The great deceiver is being referred to here, Mufassirin explain. This is in reference to Iblis, Shaytan. Shaytan whispers in the mind, whispers in the heart. Among the whisperings of Shaytan is that he will say to a person, You are still young. You are mashallah fit and healthy. You are only in your 40s. Look at that janazah that took place recently. Mufti Muhammad Sahib Rahimahullah, Muhammad Hashim Sahib Rahimahullah, Allah fill his grave with Noor. 47 years old. No real medical complications. Collapsed, passed away. MashaAllah, the amount of work of deen he did, that will inshallah be a means of perpetual reward. But it just shows that a person's life can be cancelled at any moment. That is why one ashik of Allah Ta'ala says, strange is the visa of life. Zindagi, the visa of zindagi is bahut ajeeb hai, extremely strange. That this, you can't extend the visa of life. And you don't know how long the visa is going to last for. You don't know the validity. Normally the person has got a 1 year, how long it is. And unfortunately, you cannot even renew it afterwards. It's impossible. Each of us have got this visa of life. We don't know when it's going to expire. It's come up, yeah, it means that we have to be ready at all times. That's why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith that we quoted in the introduction, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun aw aabiru sabil." Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be in this world as if you are a stranger or a traveler. A person comes to a town, he's a stranger. So somebody invites him home, come and stay here. He uses what he can, but his heart is not attached to it. The person is traveling. We find today we travel on the roads. The person is traveling by road to Johannesburg. He stops in Harrismith. He uses the bathroom. He uses all the amenities that are there. But his heart is not attached to it. Sometimes the person will book some accommodation and stay over the night. He'll use everything. The bed is very, very comfortable. He got nice chandeliers and lights and aircon. So he looks at all of those things, but his heart is not attached to it. He knows it, mera nahi hai. I'm only using it. I will go, somebody else will use it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be in this world like this. That means use the world. That beautiful car that you're driving, mashallah, alhamdulillah. But tell yourself that I'm using this car tomorrow, somebody else will use it. One place we went to in Johannesburg, the father was a doctor, the son was a doctor. The father worked very, very hard, bought the house. He passed away. The son took over the house. The son passed away and it went on. That's why one alim says, remember, even when you buy a house, tell yourself you're living in a timeshare apartment. It's a timeshare apartment. You could use it for a few years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, finish. Then you carry on. Somebody else takes over. Don't allow your heart to become attached to these things. If you're going to leave it, you're going to separate from it. So he says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. So shaitan will tell a person, no, no, you got one house, you must buy two houses. You got one shop, you need two shops. See that man, he got two shops. You also must try and get two shops. You got two shops, you see how he's opened up a whole, you know, agency of shops throughout the country. You need to do the same thing, you need to grow the business. So shaitan will make a person continue and continue. The youngster shaitan will say, no, your great-grandfather lived till he was 90. You probably will live to 95. Got a very healthy lifestyle. And in this way, shaitan allows a person to continue wasting his time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be in this world as if you are a stranger or a traveler. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, on this hadith used to say, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَىٰ. When you wake up in the morning, don't wait for the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. When the evening comes, do not wait for the morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to make amal, and we make dua that Allah makes us reach the month of Ramadan. There's so many janazas now before the month of Ramadan. Allah make it such that we reach the month of Ramadan. Of course, those who have passed away, inshallah, their intention was to reach the month of Ramadan. Allah give them the reward, inshallah. And all those who have passed away, Allah fill the graves with nur. And Allah make it such that the Ramadan is filled with mahabba, filled with iman. And we make the most of the month of Ramadan. Allah give us all good health in the month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana.